In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. They call 1 John a letter, but scholars are beginning to really push the fact that it's more of a sermon than a letter. I mean, because this is not the kind of thing you walk down your mailbox and open up a letter from church leader and says, "Don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Oh, by the way, lay down your life for another, just as Jesus laid down his life for us." Those two things stand out to me uncomfortably in the reading of this morning's texts. The world will hate you, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Anybody else feeling uncomfortable right this minute? Yep, The world will hate you, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Well, I don't know, but it wasn't all that long ago that if I'd listened to a sermon like that, just might have turned me off of church, being like, "You want me to do what and be hated for it? Really?" But to understand being hated by the world means understanding the love of God and understanding how God loves us and understanding how that love is shown. See, it's one thing to say that God loves us, but it's another to understand that love is shown through the actions of our God and that therefore we must show our love through our actions. To understand the love of God that was so great that he gave his only son to be killed for our sins is the greatest show of sacrifice that possibly could ever happen. So that begs the question, how do we then love one another? My grandmother was infamous for saying, "My dear, your actions speak louder than your words." Who's heard it? Better question, who said it? Self-sacrifice comes in many popular images, like I was talking with the kids. Self-sacrifice is one of those things you hear, you know, they laid down their life for their other man when soldiers are killed overseas. When a firefighter runs into a burning building and dies, but he saves the person that was stuck. When police put themselves in an active shooter situation, or teachers for that matter. These are the popular images, and they are extreme. It is extreme that Jesus laid down his life for us, literally. But maybe, perhaps, laying down your life for another is a little less final. Just maybe. We remember that to live as a Christian and truly do it, we must put on Christ. We must act as Christ did and as Christ would have us act. And so that means to live life as one that self-sacrifices. But maybe self-sacrifice is not just laying down your physical life for someone, but to put someone's needs ahead of your own. To make time for someone else when really you could be spending that time on yourself. To live for the good of others. To live in a way that helps others feel the love of God. I'll be the first one to tell you God formed Sabbath and said you can't fill glasses with an empty jug and all of that good stuff. But are you filling your jug to overflowing, or are you filling it up so you can run out and fill up everybody else's glass? To love one another is to lay down your life for someone else, to lay aside your desires, to lay aside your... I mean, what's the difference here? So, do you love somebody by staying at home, or do you love somebody by coming on Wednesday and helping with food pantry? Do you love somebody by making sure that your needs are met, or do you love somebody else by saying, how can I help you today? The problem is that if we say we have the love of Jesus down in our hearts, you know, like that song, I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart, right? If we say that and don't act on it, we are not walking the walk, or for that matter, practicing what we preach. As part of that Christian life is to put on Christ, to do what Jesus would do. Those bracelets were not a bad idea. My mom wore out more than one of them back in the 90s, I know. But how much better would it be if we still did it? We talk the talk, we proclaim Christ risen, do we go out and do anything about it? We're really good about doing it here. Do we go out there and do it? Do we all go out there and show it? And it's not about just saying, hey, Jesus loves you. It's about saying, hey, you need a ride to the grocery store? Come on. You need somebody to watch your kids so you can have an afternoon off and refill your pitcher? And we do it. Group of 26 kindergartners wants to put together birthday bags as a reminder that they have neighbors in this community that need them. You do it, and they invite you to come help, and you go. And it only takes one. See, I think we get hung up on macro focus. We get so focused on the big problems of this world and the big problems that we cannot possibly handle. We can't possibly fix them. And while we're focused on all of this, we miss the person right next to us who needs a bit of love themselves, who needs just a little touch of Jesus, who just needs us to stop looking out here and look right here for a minute. Focusing on the big problems of the world makes us, you miss the trees for sake of the forest, right? And when we do it right, when we actually take the time to focus on the person next to us who needs that touch of love, we cannot be surprised when the world hates us for it. The world's the devil's domain. Evil is alive and well in this world, and it never ceases to amaze me how many times you can be on the right path and that little worm will get in your ear and say, well, you can't possibly help everyone. You can't possibly fix all the problems of the world, so why are you even bothering? Why even try? You might as well take care of yourself, because you can't fix all the problems of the world. You can only take care of you. Ooh, does that sound familiar? So you pray what Jesus prayed, and you say, get behind me, Satan. I ain't got time for you. I'm busy loving on my neighbor here. I'm busy sharing the love of Christ like I was called to do. The devil hates it. Oh, Lord, that slippery bugger. I had a Dr. Noel, professor of church history. Great guy. God rest his soul. He'd say, the devil is a slippery son of a gun in a three-piece suit. Enticing, encouraging, just worms his way in there and pokes and tries to get you off the focus that you're supposed to do. There's a story that went around and it fits. It says a young boy passed a farm one day while riding his bicycle and he noticed a sign advertising puppies for sale. Seeing the farmer on the edge of his property, the boy decided to approach the fence and strike up a conversation. Mister, I'll buy one of your puppies if you I'd like to, the boy said, tugging on the farmer's overalls. Well, okay, the farmer obliged, but these puppies are expensive, son. They come from fine parents and command a pretty high price. The little boy remained undeterred. He says, well, I've got 39 cents. Can I still see them at least? Farmer chuckled to himself, said, sure, and he called for the mother. Dolly! As he called out, the mama dog ran up to him with the four little balls of fur in tow. The puppies and their mother were busy sniffing at the boy and digging at the fence, but the boy's attention drifted back to the doghouse, where a fifth little ball of fur was slowly creeping out from the entryway onto the farmer's lawn. "I want that one," the little boy said without hesitation. He pointed at the fifth puppy, who was smaller, slower, and more awkward than the rest of the litter. "Oh, you don't want that one, son," the farmer said. "He'll never be able to run and play with you like these other dogs will. Pick another." The boy started to roll up one leg of his pants, revealing the metal brace that ran down either side of his leg. He said, "Well, sir, I can't run around too well myself, so I need someone who understands. Now, how much is he?" The farmer was incredibly moved by the little boy's big heart and knew just what to do. "No charge for that one, son," the farmer said, leading the child toward the fifth dog's doghouse. "There is no charge for love." There is no charge for love. It's free. My grandmother used to, the other grandma, used to have a magnet on her refrigerator, stitched out of plastic canvas, as it were, and it says, "The hug is the perfect gift. It's one size fits all, and nobody minds if you exchange." It's free. A smile is free. A kind word is free. It's the gift that keeps giving. So if we're going to say we worship the one who died on the cross and rose again for our sins, then maybe it's time to put fear-mongering aside. Maybe it's time to quit buying into the gospel of the world, small g, and buy into the big G gospel of the Bible and the gospel that we know through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's time to start looking at your neighbor and saying, "Hey, you know what? How can I show God's love to you today?" Don't actually say that because they'll think you're weird, but think it. Maybe it's time to start setting that example for our neighbors. Maybe it's time to start showing just how much we know from sitting in here that we need to share out there. Because like the hymn says, they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. Amen.